All right. Good morning, church.
Hi.
How's everybody doing out there? We're excited to be here. I brought an extra special guest this morning, and she's super thrilled about it, too. Loves it.
I'm happy to be here. Just nervous a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little strange staring into a camera when you're used to, like, people in an audience. But we're really excited to be here. We've been traveling through Devos with people, hanging out online. Usually we're home with our kids, and we got them like kind of corralled around the TV, and really it's just Kristen and I watching, and the kids, we're just kind of yelling at them to stop and be quiet. But we try, I suppose. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been really fun hanging out and seeing people interact online. It actually does mean a little bit, and it's been healthy, and it's been really good. And so even for us to be able to be here this morning with you guys is, man, it's a privilege. It really is. Excuse me. Here's what we're going to do. I want to talk through what it means to rest well. And we're in a season of life unique in all of history, perhaps, especially in probably our lifetime, where life has shut down. And we're at a place now where we're home more than we've ever been before, almost, right? Maybe some of us have had a week-long vacation where we stay home and hang out, but now we're entering into a time where it's going to be the longest ever home, doing nothing, going almost nowhere. And how do we handle it well? How do we do it? Super blessed yesterday with what Jason had to share, and if you weren't able to watch that, you can go on Horizon Indy's Facebook page, or you can click on the live feed there eventually once this is over on our webpage to go and watch that. And we had Paul and Tracy, and I don't know if Wes is gone yet, but it's been encouraging. Times are, it's specific to the time that we're in, trying to encourage you guys to walk through it. As it relates to resting well, why don't you guys turn to Genesis chapter 2 in your Bible, sorry. And we'll start there. This is the first mention of the word rest in Scripture. And you'll know it, you'll be familiar with this particular thing. And I want to talk about what exactly this rest was that God entered into. We'll start Genesis chapter 2. And I wanted to point out also, last night we gathered the kids around and we watched the second episode of The Chosen, which is the film about Jesus. And we've been going through it. It's been a lot of fun. The kids kind of enjoyed it. The younger ones, you know, Asher and Theo weren't into it. Asher actually kind of was. But it's a really neat resource. It's available online for free, and it's about Jesus, and it's in a way that's unique and kind of really, I feel like it shows the personalities and just gets a feel for the disciples, for the people that are there, the backstories and so on. Anyway, we were watching that last night, and it just so happens that that particular episode was on rest. It was called Shabbat, and it was the time, Friday evening, into Saturday, when the Jews would sit down around a meal and have a meal together. And they would walk around and they would say, Shabbat Shalom, rest and peace. And they would read this section of Scripture right here. I was so excited about it. So Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 1, they would recite this over their Shabbat dinner. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. So imagine that, just rest, finished. And then let your mind think about what else has been finished, because we'll eventually go to Jesus. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. And what was it that God had done? This idea of rest carries with it the idea of ceasing to work. Right, where he had gone before these prior 6 days and worked and made the world, created all that we know today. And then he rested and was able to enjoy and look at what he had created and then move on and begin to invest in it and think through it. And that's kind of the idea of rest, where you work these 6 days or whatever it might be, and then finally you get to come to a place to rest, and it puts our work into perspective that there's actually more to life than the busyness that sometimes we get caught up in, and that we get to actually enjoy and live and know our family. So all of a sudden now we're at a place in life where I'm like seeing my kids more And I get to look at them in the eyes more than I ever have. And the busyness of life takes place. And all of a sudden, we're like, man, when's the last time I had a conversation with my kid that was more than 2 minutes about them not doing something they shouldn't be doing or something like that, right? But now, all of a sudden, we've got time on our hands and we've got card games to play and game board and games and all these things. And we can enjoy. And I think that's kind of what happened here. When God rested, he was able to take inventory of what had happened and enjoy it, to see the goodness of it. Turn to Psalm 62. And Kristen, could you read that once you get there? So at Psalm 62, we'll start in verse 5, and it just goes through rest. It's a good reminder, and this might be a good psalm to meditate through and pray through. I'm not even there yet. Go ahead, babe, whenever you're ready.
My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Amen. My soul waits silently for him. Guess what that means? It's rest. To be able to sit and wait before him. So what we were going to do is talk through three ways of how we can rest, or what helps us rest well. And the first one, Kristen's going to take it, because this is something that was really on her heart, the idea of stones of remembrance. So why don't you go through it and kind of lead what was on your heart?
Yeah. So as I was walking last night, it was miraculously suddenly 65 degrees at about 9 o'clock. So I went and I was walking in my driveway up and down for about an hour, just thinking and praying and considering. And I was thinking about this idea of rest. And for me, one of the biggest ways that I need rest is in my mind, right? The stress or the anxiety or the fears or whatever. And that is one of the sweetest things of walking with Jesus, is the rest he offers and the peace that he offers. And one of the ways that I walk through that, the Lord has given us the idea of stones of remembrance. If you look in Joshua chapter 4, the Israelites had just crossed over the Jordan, and God had asked them to take 12 stones from there and then to set them up. And it says at the end of chapter 4, in verse 21, then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask the fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that he is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So while I don't actually have like 12 stones stacked up in my house, just figuratively speaking, the idea of remembering what God has done, as we consider and look back at the times he has shown up and he has met us, or he's been our provider or our comforter or our healer, whatever it may be, as we remember the ways that he has met us, it offers us rest, it offers us peace, and it enables us to trust him further with the future and what is to come. Just another scripture kind of along that vein, Lamentations 3. I don't know why I had it marked. Here we go. Lamentations 3. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Just again, this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope, right? I remember what God has done, so I can hope, I can rest. And there's just a lot of peace for me in that. And just an encouragement, too, to consider, maybe even sit with your family at your house, or FaceTime a friend, whatever it may be. Just take some time to remember what God has done. As we are facing unprecedented days in our lifetime, it is just really good and healthy to remember the ways that the Lord has showed up for us previously. And I think we will see. We have found him faithful, and we're going to continue to find him faithful.
Yeah, so. Amen. Thank you. That was Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 21 and 22. So what we want to remember, though, also is the next thing would be wait. So when we hang out with the Lord, what helps us to rest? These stones of remembrance, right? Going through and thinking what the Lord has done, remembering all of that. It's a good practice to get into, to think of these things, to remember, right? But also, are you guys any good at waiting and sitting quietly, right? Well, hey, guess what? We talk about this on our college group all the time, and here's a chance now. It's almost like the Lord's like, hey, guess what? Now I'm going to make you. And what else do we have to do? Almost. We now have the time. If you look at Lamentations chapter 3, there in verse 25 and 26, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, right? To the soul who seeks him. You see that there's an interesting connection between waiting on him and seeking him, right? It's kind of this idea of striving to enter into this rest where we find in Jesus. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I think that it's important to realize, you guys, we might have a time like never before to really wait on the Lord and to really sit before him when the normal busyness of life, whether it's running people to track or to soccer or whatever else it might be, everything like that is shut down. Here we are, especially maybe as families, at this place where I don't have evening commitments. I'm with my family now. And I want you to know this, that this time is important, that you can get into some super healthy rhythms at home that you might not have ever been able to enjoy before, that God has perhaps afforded a time like this for us to slow down, for us to enjoy each other, that it's not supposed to be something where we're in terror or afraid, but man, we can see this as a way that God has orchestrated, that his hand is in this, that this is going to be meant for good. The enemy wants us to be afraid, like my wife was talking about, to be fearful and to sit on anxiety in our head and so on, but my goodness, you guys, we don't have to. There's a very redeemed response to all of this, and that's to enjoy. And I understand not everybody has seven people in their household. Some of you might be single, you're sitting at home, and listen, you can still FaceTime, you can probably still go to parks and walk with people, staying distant. We went on a walk this morning, and we met a couple of neighbors, and there was this little thing like, hey, stay over there, you know. But it was great, we got to interact and see neighbors that we don't normally see. Just because we're out walking, like, you can still do that. I understand it can be different. There's a little bit of a chaos, but there's also some security in people and maybe larger families. And if you are single or if you're having trouble connecting with people, then you can FaceTime, you can call the church, and there are pastors who will talk to you. We can get on Zoom and see each other face-to-face or FaceTime each other face-to-face. Don't think that you're left alone and you can't do something, because there are things that we can do. The third thing I want to mention is his presence, and we're going to wrap up here in a second. But how can I rest well? The third thing would be in his presence, which I think sounds pretty obvious, but maybe just take a second to consider it. There's a story in Mark chapter 6 when the disciples were told by Jesus to cross the water. It gets really crazy, and then all of a sudden they see Jesus walking on water. And they're like, what is happening? Is it a ghost type of thing? And then it goes to this place where Jesus says, hey guys, don't be afraid. And then he says this, he says, it is I. And so there was peace, right? His presence, knowing that Jesus is there in our midst, that actually he's become our rest. And for New Testament believers, man, Jesus is our rest. In fact, think of this, that in the Jewish week, rest came after work. But for believers, guess what? We start our day on Sunday, we start with rest, and then we work, right? That's what we have in Christ. We get to sit with him and enjoy him. And from that position of righteousness that's been imputed to us, we get to go now and do the work that he's called us to. We don't work and then rest, man. We rest now in Christ, and then we get to go about and do his work. And so consider that, man. His presence is right there with us. He's there. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he says, lo, I'm with you always, to the end of the age. Right now, he's with us. He knew these things were going to happen, and we can take hope in that and trust. But there's a little bit of practicing to be in his presence, to be in the word, to spend time meditating on scripture, which is kind of wanted to share this, the practical things, and I want to move on to one thing after this. But first thing, enjoy your family. If you want to get practical, let's relearn how to enjoy our family. Again, that can be more difficult if you don't have a family that's right there with you, but whatever means are necessary with talking and using the phones and different things, slow down and look at people in the eye, right? For those of you who have kids and life is crazy normally, look at them in the eye and see if you can commit to having, even if it's just 3 5-minute conversations with them, to stop and talk, play some card games, play some board games. But I'm telling you, looking at your kids in the eyes is a healthy thing, to talk with them. Are they doing okay? Enjoy silence. That might sound crazy and super scary, but maybe don't be afraid to sit and think and meditate on scripture and allow the Lord to minister to you in that way. And finally, I encourage you to give thanks for what God has done. Kind of going back to what my wife had talked about with Stones of Remembrance, you guys, give thanks. There's a lot to give thanks for. There's a lot of things to pray for, and the time has been afforded to many of us. I know some of you are still working normal and things haven't changed. But for those where life has been kind of upended, maybe we do have time like never before to sit before the Lord and to practice some of those diligent things. And I also want to encourage dads and fathers and men, this is a really great opportunity for you to take the lead in all of this. To not passively allow things to happen in your home, but to set the temperature of your house, to bring joy, to bring a hope into your home, that this all this work doesn't rest upon my wife alone, but that we get to be in the midst now like maybe never before. To be a presence in our house, to be a presence with our kids, to not tune out, to not shut out, but to really be with them. And so, men, I just want to encourage you and kind of make a calling to do that very thing there. And finally, I want to encourage you this. We've had a lot of people maybe who are watching this who don't normally go to church, who are stuck at home, and you have now had time to think and consider. And I want to encourage you to cry out to the Lord. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity right now to recognize that you have sinned before him, but that he is awesome and good, that he loves you, that whoever would believe in him would be saved. To confess that he is Lord, and that's just this idea of recognizing, like in your mind, you understand that he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And he's asked that you would come to him, right? That he's right there waiting for it, that you repent of your sins and recognize that he is the one who's taking care of this. That the blood that was spilled on the cross has covered us and cleansed us fully and completely. And so there you go. You have a chance to pray. And I want to lead you in that prayer. And then when we do pray, I'll close this up for everybody. But if you're at a place right now where life is crazy and you need saved, like you can cry out to the Lord Jesus and ask him to save you, that he would come into your life, he would forgive you of your sins, and he'd be your Lord. Let's pray now. And those of you who are in the church, man, be praying that the Lord would speak to people, that his spirit would be ministering to people, even now as we pray. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. And for those out there, who don't know you, we would come to you with a confession that they need you. They recognize that they've sinned against you and you alone, Lord. And that their sin has caused a separation, a brokenness in their life, that they're not with you. But you have provided the way, Lord Jesus, through your flesh, that veil was torn. Now, Lord, as we cry out to you, you who haven't trusted in the Lord, you can cry out and ask him to save you, to confess that he is the Lord, to believe that he rose from the dead to the living. These are the things that God has asked that we would recognize and believe, and it says that we will be saved, that you could have that right now. And Lord, speak to them. Draw them to yourself by the power of your Holy Spirit, that they would cry out, repent and trust in you, Lord, that you would cause them to be born again. Do that work. And for the rest of us, Lord, who are struggling and walking through this time, maybe we are able to enjoy, but Lord, we want you to be in our midst. We want you to be there with us. We don't want to just have fun or be lazy or grow in apathy. We want to remain diligent. We want to remain productive however we can. But Lord, teach us how to rest, to be in your presence, to enjoy, to give thanks, to have stones of remembrance of what you've already done, what you've accomplished, and then to be able to share that with our families, to share it with our friends, and to be able to be an encouragement to this world. And so, God, we cry out. As a church, we want to be able to be used by you. We want to be a powerful force in this world, that you would be exalted and high and lifted up. And so here we are, Lord. Fill us with your spirit and use us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. It was great hanging out with you guys this morning. Thanks for allowing us into your home or into your phone, whatever it might be. I want to encourage you, you can go to our website, horizonindy.org. If you have prayer requests, you can put them in there right there. Our normal mode of operation is out right now. It's not working. So there's a new way to do it, and you can use it there. Also, you can have the live feed is available there to click it. You can click that and go to other pages and to see the other things that have gone on there. If you need anything, we do have pastors on call. And so take advantage of that. It was great to have my wife on our little show this morning. Wasn't that fun to have a little lady love? So anyway, thanks for joining us. It was great to have you. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. We'll be here. So take care, guys.